Couple of announcements to make this morning. The first is the Connect cards that are in your bulletin. We'd appreciate you filling those out and handing them to an usher or putting them in the plate. We have a new membership system that we're trying to get together, and this will be very helpful to us. They'll take the place of the yellow sheets in the registration pads. Also, the mission box for today is for Young Life, and Chris James is going to come and tell you about Young Life.
Thank you. Good morning. It's always great to see the Trinity family. My name is Chris James, and happy Father's Day to the fathers out there. My three-year-old woke me up this morning with a giant box of candy bars, so that was a wonderful way to wake up. My name is Chris. I'm the area director for Young Life in Gainesville. Young Life is an international outreach organization. We have a presence in 90 countries and around the world and 800 communities in the United States. And I've had the privilege of serving as the director in Gainesville for the past 6 years. Two things I want to tell you this morning is because Trinity has been supportive of us the past couple of years, I want to say thank you and let you know what we've done the past year, but then also what we'd like to see happen, hopefully and prayerfully, this coming year. In the past year, we started two brand new ministry teams, one of which I'm serving on at Eastside High School, and it's been very, very exciting. It's been awesome to join in what the Lord is doing there in kids' lives. Just in our first semester, we've had over 50 kids involved, and we expect that number to continue to grow. We're meeting at the newly opened, reopened Boys and Girls Club in Lincoln Estates. We've also started a new program, Young Life College, for students at University of Florida in Santa Fe. A lot of young men and women who come to college maybe don't have quite a faith or Jesus or church connection when they get here, but they recognize the name of Young Life from their middle school and high school days, so it gives them a port of entry still to come and hear about Jesus, and then we hope to continue to walk beside them and point them towards Christ. In the upcoming year, we have two things on our heart that we've been praying about. We would love to start an after-school wildlife program, which is middle school version of Young Life, at Lincoln Middle School. And we would also like to start a program for kids with disabilities. Young Life has a branch of ministry called Capernaum, and it offers all of the resources that Young Life has, the club meetings, camps, small groups, everything, but just for kids with all kinds of various disabilities. And so thank you for your support in the past. Thank you for your continued support. And please pray that these things would happen so that we could continue pointing kids toward Jesus. Thank you.
Also, in a couple of weeks, first week in July, our new associates, Aaron and Esther, will be arriving, and we want to ask all of you to be sure and wear your name tags for the first couple of months at least, so that they can learn who you are. It's easy for you to learn who they are. It's a lot different on the other end, and we'd appreciate your help with that. Next Sunday is also the reception for Andrew Pridgen, who is our mission coordinator and will be leaving. And we want to ask you to join in the reception to thank him for the remarkable work that he's done in expanding Trinity's missions. Tonight, Sunlight is doing their concert tour send-off right here at 7 p.m. We invite you to come and support them and give them a warm send-off. Welcome home. Why are we here? Let us pray. Lord, as we gather to worship, pour out your Holy Spirit on us and inspire us with the wonder of your gracious love. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
morning. Good morning. Would you please stand and let us join singing All Creature of Our God and King.
The Methodist Episcopal Church and the Methodist Episcopal Church South had both started mission work in Korea. In 1930, they decided to join together to become the Korean Methodist Church. For our affirmation of faith today, we will use their creed. We believe in one God, creator and sustainer of all things, father of all nations, the source of all goodness and beauty, all truth and love. We believe in Jesus Christ, God manifest in the flesh, our teacher, example, and redeemer, the Savior of the world. We believe in the Holy Spirit, God present with us for guidance, for comfort, and for strength. We believe in the forgiveness of sins, in the life of love and prayer, and in grace equal to every need. We believe in the Word of God contained in the Old and New Testaments as the sufficient rule both of faith and practice. We believe in the Church, those who are united in the living Lord for the purpose of worship and service. We believe in the reign of God as the divine will realized in human society, and in the family of God, where we are all brothers and sisters. We believe in the final triumph of righteousness and in the life everlasting. Amen.
Amen.
seated.
Good morning. My name is Elizabeth Jones, and this small sampling, about 10% of our group right here, we just finished Vacation Bible School with about 300 children and over 100 volunteers. We traveled to 5 different countries, and we learned that neighbors are welcoming. But like I said, this is about 10% of us, but we wanted to share one of the fun songs that we learned this morning with you.
Wow. We're so glad you're a part of our family. How about a hand for all those who helped with Vacation Bible School? Even though we had over 300 children, we had 150 or more volunteers helping, and we want to thank them and appreciate that. As we turn our hearts and thoughts to God, let's look at our prayers and concerns. We have these listed up there. In addition, we want to pray for Sandy, who's having difficulty walking this morning. We want to pray for Paul Corey. John Thomas passed away, and he will be having a memorial service here next Sunday afternoon at 2 p.m. And Cheryl Hartman will have a service next Tuesday. So please keep these and their families in your prayers. Let us pray. Almighty God, you are the creator of the universe, the God of all power, and the God of healing. And so today we pray that you would bless these whom we have named in our hearts and with your healing and comforting touch. Help them to know your great love for them and your presence with them. We pray that you would be with Brian as he brings your message today. Speak through him and bless us with your word. Our Father, whose love is heaven to us, we praise you and honor you today. You have given us the law so that we know right from wrong. And you have given us love so we know the spirit and the motivation of the law. You have given us wisdom so we might apply both with compassion. Oh God, you are the perfect Father to us. And it is our greatest desire to know you as intimately as Jesus did. He called you Abba, Daddy. We praise you for those fathers today who loved their children in such a way. So many of us even have difficulty calling you Father because our fathers were such poor images of you, and it's hard for us to feel close to you. We know you love us, yet we have a need to keep you at some distance. So today we pray for the capacity to forgive those who have hurt us, and for the ability to risk loving you close up. And for those of us who are grandfathers, fathers, stepfathers, and substitute fathers, we pray for the capacity to know the wonder of your love so that we can love our children like you love us. Here today and now, as we worship you, Father God, may your Holy Spirit remind us that you live within us, that you are as close as our hearts. Open those hearts to your love so that we may be able also to call you Abba. And may you teach us all how to pray like Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Will the ushers come forward at this time? As we offer our gifts this morning, we might also think of the ways that we offer ourselves to one another in love and in service. Mighty God, we praise you for the ways that you have gifted us with natural abilities, with spiritual gifts, and with the abundance of life here in America. And we thank you for the opportunity we have to support your work of ministry throughout the world. So we ask that you would consecrate these gifts today, and may they be a consecration of our own life to your work of ministry. In Jesus' name, amen.
thank you so much. Well, good morning, and it's a pleasure to be here with you to share God's Word. It was given to me this week under the title, It's Everything You Do, Not You Do Everything. As we look through Paul's words to the Colossians in Colossians chapter 3. So hear the scripture text with me today, if you would. And I encourage you to follow along in your own Bibles or one of the pew Bibles provided for you in the seat in front of you. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Wives, submit yourselves to your husbands as fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not embitter your children, or they will become discouraged. Slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything, and do it not only when their eye is on you and to curry their favor, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for human masters. Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward, it is the Lord Christ you are serving. Anyone who does wrong will be repaid for the wrongs, and there is no favoritism. May the Lord add His blessing to the reading, the hearing, and the understanding of His Word. Amen. Well, I grew up in a small Baptist church in West Central Illinois. And in that small church, I remember that we celebrated three major holidays each year. Christmas, Easter, and Mother's Day. Now, we made a pretty big deal of all three of them. For each one, people, entire families, three and four generations deep, would show up on those Sunday mornings. Everyone would dress in their finest. Women would don their big, beautiful hats. Men would dust off their suits. The service would be different those days. Special. Now, looking back, now if I think real hard, I can faintly remember Father's Day at our small church. Usually the pastor or the song leader would come to the pulpit and would just tell everybody, Happy Father's Day. In the same way, he would announce that there was a 1984 Buick in the parking lot with its lights on. So not really that big of a deal. Now, granted, this memory is a bit fuzzy and most likely a bit tainted by my current status as a father. But I've just kind of reconciled the whole perceived difference in the way we as a people celebrate Mother's Day and Father's Day by blaming it all on the greeting card people. Now just compare a Mother's Day card to a Father's Day card. Compare it on design and on price. The Mother's Day card will be covered with beautiful flowers, flying birds. It will have a lovely sonnet or some other lovingly thought out inspirational verse on the inside. It will be three-dimensional, with the flowers and glitter rising 2 to 3 feet off the face of the card. And when you go to purchase it, it comes roughly to the same amount as half of a house payment. In a word, It's lovely. Now compare that to a Father's Day card. A stick figure drawing on the front in black and white. And when you open the card, all you see are the words, "Happy Father's Day." And that's it. So you see, there is a difference. But really, that's really okay. I think it's good that we celebrate Mother's Day and Father's Day differently. Because it is different. Mothers and fathers are different. Not more or less important, just different. Now, Father's Day has always been a special occasion for me. This afternoon, like dozens of Father's Day past, four generations of Myers will gather in Ambrosia Hollow, or as the locals call it, Ambrosia Holler, in rural Pike County, Illinois. There, my uncle will fry fish and slice potatoes. There'll be half-naked children running and playing with a homemade slip and slide. And there'll be a few games of basketball and horseshoes. Now, this is an event that ranks up there with our Thanksgiving and Christmas gatherings. Everyone in the family looks forward to it. It's just a relaxing afternoon of food, family, and fun. But the Myers Clan Florida Division will once again miss this event. That was just one of the sacrifices that we had to make as we moved 1,000 miles from the rest of our family. But although we won't be there today, I can tell you almost exactly what will happen. It does every year. My Grandma Myers will complain that the fish isn't cooked just right. There'll be a short water fight among the adults, most likely started by my dad. And although no one will say it out loud, all will sometime during the day, most likely during a game of horseshoes, quietly remember my Grandpa Myers and how much he loved this get-together every year. Looking back, I see that I've been blessed by some excellent male role models in my life. Now, I appreciate that not everyone has had that same experience. Some have had negative experiences with fathers or other males in their lives. And for that, I'm deeply and truly sorry. But it's important, I think, for us to remember that being a real father is more than just donating a few chromosomes of DNA. It's my hope and prayer that on this day that you can remember and reflect on someone who impacted your life. A coach, a pastor, a Boy Scout leader, a neighbor, a teacher, a church member. But today I want to share with you my experience. Four men, four fathers in my life. And these men are my father, Gene Myers, my grandfathers, Harold Myers and Louis Dell, and my father-in-law, Alfred Yonke. Each of these men, in their own way, by looking at their example, I think helps me understand our scripture text today. Remember, we are God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved. That was and is the starting point. All the men I'll talk about this morning felt that their lives, their clothing of compassion, kindness, and humility, was a response to Christ's amazing grace and love. That is the beginning, and that is the sum of it all. As many of you know, I was raised on a farm. I look back on those memories with great fondness. Now, I didn't always appreciate all of that back when I was growing up. But I learned so much from the lessons of farm life. I did, however, notice that a few things changed on the farm once I moved out of the house and off to college. I noticed that Dad started using the heating oil furnace in the winter rather than the wood-burning furnace. It was my job to split all the wood for the furnace. I also noticed that they stopped raising baby pigs, as it was my job to gather them all up from a big field and then I would hold the baby pig all the time, trying to ignore the mad mama sow trying to bite my leg off, while my dad or my grandpa Dell would process the pig by giving it shots and other procedures. Now, I still have a few scars on my hand where my grandpa would miss the pig and hit me. So I think that I was a pretty healthy kid, probably due to all the pig medicine that was going through my system. But the biggest thing I noticed was that the tractor that would never fit inside the barn so they could use it to clean it, all of a sudden fit as soon as I left the farm. Every Saturday morning, it was my job to take pitchfork in hand and to go clean up the barn where my 4-H cattle were. Now, the area was about as big as this chancel area, but to a young boy, it seemed it was as big as this entire worship center. Now, like almost every young boy, when given a task that is, we'll say, less than desirable, I sometimes tried to take shortcuts. Now, most of the times, Dad would swing by and see that I really hadn't done the job and sent me back to finish it. Now my dad is pretty quick to the point and doesn't leave a lot of gray area for interpretation in what I call his motivational speeches. One of the things he always said was, "It's always quicker to do it right the first time." Now, that made absolutely no sense to me at all as a kid. I mean, my thinking was it was only quicker if I got caught. So how many of us, when we try to take shortcuts, think we're actually going to get caught? Well, none of us do. I just knew the only reason he ever said that was to get me even more fired up to go finish the job. Now, however, with the advantage of years and perspective, I think I can really see what my dad was saying. He was right. It was quicker to do it right the first time. When I did get caught, which was most of the time, it always took way longer. However, even if I didn't get caught that week, then the next week when I went to clean up, the job would be even worse. Not just the amount to clean, but it would be more difficult to get up since the cattle would have packed it down. It was like concrete some weekends. Now, I'm not sure why, but from time to time, I think about those Saturday mornings. I think about how much easier it seemed to go if I just went at the task with the idea that I'm going to do the best job I can. And how hard it seemed when I complained about it or tried to take a shortcut on the quality of the job. One day, not too long ago, it hit me when I was thinking about this, that this is the idea I think Paul gave to the Colossians. Don't work only when being watched. Whatever you do, do it enthusiastically as something done for the Lord and not for men. As I thought more about this passage in Colossians, I began to challenge myself. I felt a really deep conviction. How would I be different? How would what I do be different if I really believed that passage? What if I lived out everything I do as unto the Lord? What would that look like? So over the past few months, I've tried to really focus on this. And I'll have to admit, it was a bit harder than I thought it would be. One of the biggest revelations was that I needed to be doing less. I was finding myself spread too thin. Too many commitments at work, too many commitments in my personal life. It caused me to stop and just write down all the things I had committed to do at that time. And once I had that list, it hit me. There is absolutely no way I can give my all, my best, to everything on that list. So I had a decision to make. Would I keep on doing things just well enough to get them done? Or would I put into action what I said I really believed? Everything I do, do as unto the Lord. Wow. As unto the Lord. Really? Would I give anything but my very best to the Lord? Absolutely not. So once again, I heard the voice of my dad in my head. He was telling me that I need to slow down and to take care of things before I burn out. But this time he was joined in my head by my Grandpa Dell, my maternal grandfather. Now Grandpa Dell modeled for me the first part of today's scripture text. He put on heartfelt compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. He was one of the most forgiving men I've ever known. He would often take me along with him to meetings on the many boards and committees upon which he served in the community. He would always make sure that everyone in the room had a chance to say what was on their mind. He also had the sometimes annoying habit of being able to always find something positive to say about everybody. No matter what rude thing or ill-intended action a person did toward him, he always only talked about the positive in that person. You could tell he had really forgiven the person and was past it, and he was ready to move on. In one of his sermons he gave as a lay preacher, he said, "People and the things people do can be a real burden, but there can be real joy found from our associations with people. So accentuate the positive and think of the joys you've had in associating with people. It's true, almost all people improve as we become better acquainted." Oh, if we all couldn't just do that in our lives. He also taught me the importance of love of family and the proper role and methods for teaching and correction. As right before my eyes, the calloused hands of a hard-working farmer turned soft as velvet as he comforted me as a child. He taught me about the awesome wonder of God as we watched a shriveled up seed grow into a wonderful plant. He taught me the importance of serving God with a loving heart in everything I do. Now, my Grandpa Myers, my paternal grandfather, was a sheep shearer, fur buyer, and woodcutter. Even with all the hard-working men I know, Grandpa Myers was the hardest worker I've ever seen. In all my time with him, I think he was happiest when he was with his family and when he was working. Working hard, manual labor kind of working. He most certainly did it with enthusiasm, as Paul told the Colossians to do their labors. Now, my grandpa, he had this unique laugh, almost kind of a high-pitched squeal. Now, most of the time when we heard it, he was laughing at one of us, struggling to do a task that he could have done with one hand tied behind his back. He was an incredibly strong man. I always heard the story that he once picked up a 55-gallon drum full of water, flat-footed, and put it in the bed of a truck. He was a drill instructor in the Army, and from all accounts, he ran his troop of 7 boys and 2 girls in much the same way he trained his platoons. As I said, he was always happiest when he was working. After the 4 millionth time his oldest grandson, me, asked to learn how to shear a sheep, he finally relented. He gathered up all the gear and then brought out a couple of ewes. He then proceeded to grab one and shear her in a flash. Off she went with a new haircut, and there lay a pile of wool ready to be bagged. Then he handed the clippers to me and said, "Go," and had a little laugh. Now, after I was dancing with that ewe for several minutes, I was finally able to grab her. Of course, Grandpa was standing on the side laughing the entire time. Once I had her, I was kind of like that dog who caught the car. Now what do I do? So I grabbed the clippers and started to do what I thought was the same way Grandpa did it. Let's just say this went on for way too long. Me struggling, Grandpa laughing, and the sheep wondering what she did so wrong to deserve this torture. I finally let her go. Both she and I were very glad when it was over, and both of us were bleeding. He taught me the value of hard work and the importance of doing it with enthusiasm. Because it had to be done, so you might as well make the most of it and enjoy it. Colossians 3:18 is a verse that, in my opinion, is often misinterpreted. Those misinterpretations have also caused a lot of damage in God's church. I think the paraphrase of this verse found in the Message is instructive. Wives, understand and support your husbands. The emphasis is on the understanding and the supporting of the verse. And boy, wives, can we husbands use your understanding for some of the boneheaded things that we do? Can I get an amen? And as a parent, I also really like verse 20. Children, obey your parents in everything. Can I get another amen? But in the effort of full disclosure, verse 21 tells us, fathers, do not exacerbate your children. So parents, there are limits. As we look at these verses and all the commandments found in the Bible, I think it's important that we remember Jesus' words in Matthew 22. When asked, what is the greatest commandment? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and most important command. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. And hear this part. All the law and the prophets depend on these two commands. So we must live out all the commandments in love. How God loves us and how we are to love one another. Not in legalistic, discriminatory ways. Verse 19 tells husbands to love your wives. And I'm lucky to have seen these verses modeled for me not only by my own parents, but also by my in-laws, Alfred and Virginia Yonke. Now, believe it or not, having me as a son-in-law is not all sunshine and lollipops. But Al and Virginia are very supportive and very loving to the man who stole their daughter, took her and their two grandsons over 1,000 miles away. My father-in-law, Alfred, also lives out the traits of compassion, kindness, gentleness, and patience. He's also accepting and forgiving of a stubborn son-in-law. In working with college students, I often get to hear of newly engaged couples. It's always funny to watch the newly engaged bride-to-be come bounding into the classroom on campus with her left hand entering way before the rest of her body, almost like there's a balloon holding it up. And after the requisite oohing and aahing, she then proceeds to tell the story of how we did it. And boy, have these proposals become full-scale stage productions with photographers, entire family gathering, horses, all kinds of stuff. So I'm not really sure all that's needed. Margaret and I had a much lower scale event, and it seemed to have stuck. However, I still didn't do it right. I never called Alfred before I popped the question. At the time, I thought it just wasn't needed. I said, this is a new era, right? Now, Alfred never said anything to me about it, but I'll have to admit that it still haunts me from time to time that I didn't do it right. However, even with all of my mistakes and flaws, and all of his concerns over his daughter's judgment and men, Alfred still welcomed me into his family. And I think it's that welcoming, it's that loving that is really the essence of Paul's message in verses 18 through 21. But there's another father to talk about this day. Verse 17 tells us, giving thanks to God the Father. This should give us focus on God as our Father. A Father who is the ultimate model, mentor, who is clothed preeminently with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. All the things we want. All the things we need as fathers. That we need as a people. These are all but reflections of the character of God, who we adore. He's a Father who loves us so much that He suffered through His Son, Jesus Christ, to pay the debt of our sins so that we may have eternal life with Him. Friends, this is the true example of being a father. It's the example that we are all called to follow, whether we have small children or grown, many children or none, if we are young or if we are old. We are called to love and support each other as God the Father has shown us. So happy Father's Day. I share with you these examples God has given me in my life. Hopefully they've been helpful to you. I hope you can see them as more than just a few good people doing good things. I hope you see them as examples of how even what we see as small things we do can have a big impact on those God places around us. I encourage you to keep this text, God's words to the Colossians, in your heart and mind as you plan your day and your commitments. God calls us all to give our best in all we do. But with that, He does not call us to do or be everything. He doesn't call us to be perfect. God has filled the Bible with examples of imperfect people, men and women, giving their best to Him. God has placed others in our lives, a father, a mentor, a friend, to be that example of imperfect people giving their best to Him. And God has placed us, you and me, in the lives of those around us to be that example of an imperfect person giving our best to God. If a father, be the best father you can be. If a business leader, be the best business leader you can be. And if a barn cleaner, be the best pitchfork wielding barn cleaner you can be. Whatever you do, do it enthusiastically, as if something done for the Lord and not for men. Remember, it's everything you do, not you do everything. Amen. Please stand as we have our closing hymn this morning. Hear this benediction. May the grace of God be upon each of us as we live by His example as our mentor, our guide, and our friend. May others see His glory through all that we do as we are examples to them. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.